Well, as Christians, we are called to be able to go out and share the gospel with people that we meet. And we've been in this series where we've been talking about how to talk to a blank. And today we're going to discuss how to talk to a Buddhist. Welcome to Unapologetic, where we defend truth without compromise with Dr. Bobby Conway, the One Minute Apologist. I'm your host, Tim Hull. Well, Bobby, there's a well-known author and speaker, psychiatrist named Jordan Peterson. He's written a book called The 12 Rules for Life and in several other books, but he's been extremely popular, particularly in the world of kind of the underground YouTube world. And he's been on interviews all over the globe in Australia and England. And recently, he came out with this really astounding statement about his understanding of Jesus Christ. Maybe you could talk to that, just talk just a little bit about that before we get to our topic of Buddhism today.
You know, a lot of times people come into their belief in Jesus and it's a process. And Jordan has definitely been this academic scholar who's fascinated with the scriptures. I mean, he has lengthy teachings through the book of Genesis, for example, and people are mesmerized by it. The interesting thing about Jordan is he has a firm conviction in moral absolutes, and yet he looks at the scriptures as kind of this mythical, informative guide to life.
Right.
But he's been deeply pondering the person of Jesus, and he believes that he obviously existed. But he talked about this idea of like that he thinks he believes in him almost, but he's scared to really give himself to Jesus Christ because he's not sure what would happen to his life. And he says this with just tears flowing out of his eyes. And so he's somebody who has a deep respect for the Christian faith, for the scriptures, but he's never seemingly come to terms with submitting his life to more than a myth, but the man, the Messiah, the God-man, Jesus Christ. But you're seeing some of his evolution since he's become famous, and some of his statements at times are just leading many Christians to wonder, will he soon be one of us?
And that is, it's a great just thought in general about somebody that's kind of on that journey, someone that has such a high profile. Again, he's talked generously about the Christian faith, but has been very vague about where he stands with even God's existence or his acceptance in Jesus. And I think for a lot of people, they may be on that journey as well. And so I think for us, as we continue to talk about, you know, even talking to Buddhists today, that's one thing that we just need to keep in mind, that people are on that journey.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And a part of me, Tim, is still trying to get past how to talk to a blank, you know, so, but you filled in the blank, right,
bro? We'll fill in the blank. And if you're listening to this and you have a suggestion of a worldview that you'd like us to tackle, you can head on over to our YouTube channel. You can find this video there and you can check out the other unapologetic shows and the other topics that we've discussed so far in this series. And then you can leave us a comment. And if you're, while you're there, why don't you go ahead and like and subscribe, click the notification bell, and that way you become notified whenever an unapologetic show goes live or a new video goes live on our YouTube channel. So we have been talking about this idea of Buddhism. We've been kind of kicking this idea around. So Buddhism is the world's fourth largest religion with over 520 million followers, or 7% of the global population would identify as Buddhism. Buddhism has become the fastest growing religion, particularly in Australia. I thought that was really interesting. So maybe we could kind of start with just what's the origin story of Buddhism? How did it come about?
Yeah. Well, first off, yeah, that is an interesting statement about Australia. And another interesting fact that maybe many Americans don't know is that it's the primary religion in the state of Hawaii.
Oh, wow.
Is Buddhism. And Buddhism has impacted the lives of well-known people like Richard Gere, Tina Turner, you know, the coach for all those years for the Bulls, Phil Jackson and Lakers. So people are familiar with those who have been influenced by Buddhism. But where did Buddhism begin? Well, it's kind of an offshoot of Hinduism. And there's lots of legend around the origin story, so it makes it very difficult for us to be able to know for sure. But it is largely believed that it began about the 5th or 6th century BC. Buddha was Siddhartha Gautama, born in northeastern India, Nepal region. And he was born into a family dynasty where his father was a king, and he was grooming Siddhartha to be a future king himself.
Okay.
And he protected his son, Siddhartha, from going beyond the gates of the kingdom that they lived in. And so it said that at 29 years of age, Siddhartha asked his father if he could go out. And his father was worried about him going beyond the gates because he didn't want him to see the pain of the world.
Right.
And so you talk about being sheltered. Siddhartha had a sheltered life. There was a prophecy about him, though, when he was young, that if he chose to remain in kind of his father's household, then he would assume the kingdom. But if he would risk and go beyond the gates, that he could have so much more. So at 29 years of age, he's married, he has a son, and he goes outside the city walls for the first time. It's hard to imagine that, like how does that really happen, right? But this is the story. And he encounters suffering. He encounters a funeral procession passing by him. He sees somebody racked with disease. He sees hunger. But in the midst of seeing things like death and sickness and disease, he sees this beggar who was obviously poor, but filled with peace. And he thought, I want what this beggar has.
Yeah.
So he would go back in to his kingdom, obviously a little bit disillusioned, like finding out like, oh, people die, people get sick. And so it makes you kind of wonder the credibility of that. Like, how does somebody live almost three decades and not know that people actually die?
And have a child, you know, in that, right?
Exactly, and have a child. But nevertheless, he chose to leave. And, you know, he's esteemed as a great moral teacher, but think about it. I mean, he left his wife and he left his son. This is known as the Great Renunciation, as he would renounce the opportunity to be king of the kingdom.
Yeah.
And he first would go away and leave, and he spent several years in asceticism. It's been said that he would literally like sit on a bed of thorns, eat and live off of a grain of rice a day. Now, how long that could last, we don't know.
Right.
But nevertheless, he got disillusioned with asceticism. He found himself under a Bodhi tree, and he was seeking enlightenment. And there is where he discovered nirvana and became, or there is where he, I should say, he became the Buddha and he became enlightened. And obviously nirvana would be something that would be a promise that he would hold out that could happen to other people. And so that's kind of the story.
That is, it's a pretty interesting story. Yeah. And again, there's lots of kind of different variations to it, but I think, you know, you did a great job summing it up there. So other than a really awesome 90s band, I want you to describe for us maybe what is Nirvana. But before you do that, I do want to remind the audience that we have a playlist on our channel, and you can go ahead and click right above my head if you're interested in that playlist. That kind of outlines some more of the beliefs of Buddhism that we've talked about in the past, and we're going to kind of touch on later in this episode things that you might need to keep in mind as you're engaging or evangelizing people that are Buddhist. So let's get back to not the authors of Smell Like Teen Spirit.
But Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, so this idea of nirvana. So what is nirvana in the Buddhist understanding, and how'd that kind of come all about? How does it play into the larger picture of Buddhism?
Yeah, so basically Buddha, you know, was Siddhartha Gautama under the Bodhi tree. He becomes the Buddha, and that is to become the enlightened one. Nirvana happens at the end of a process of samsara or reincarnation. The difference between, you know, Hinduism versus Buddhism is one of the appeals is like in Hinduism, you're just kind of stuck according to your caste system.
Yeah.
Where on Buddhism, there was a way that, yeah, you're going to go through maybe many, many, many lives, and maybe you'll become a frog or a bug.
Right.
But there's hope for nirvana, and that is basically where your self is extinguished.
Okay.
And you can enter into the end of reincarnation, which is known as the cycle of samsara. And so basically you can be united to kind of just the supreme one.
Yeah.
And within Buddhism, there's, you know, some distinctions, like you'll have Theravada Buddhism, which would be more atheistic.
Okay.
Mahayana Buddhism would believe kind of, you know, all is God. You'll have different viewpoints on Buddhism, where maybe somebody takes advantage of it, like in Zen Buddhism, they appreciate the meditation, the yoga, the Four Noble Truths. You know, the Eightfold Path, they can find some value in that, but maybe they're not necessarily seeking a deity to answer their prayers.
Yeah. Well, you just mentioned that kind of the fourfold truths and the eight paths and stuff like that. So maybe you could define one of those, what those are, because they seem to be a common thread in all of those different types of Buddhism. So maybe you could talk about that.
Yeah. The thing with Buddhism, my goodness, like, the amount of writings, you just would never bottom it out.
Yeah.
It's just different. And so to reduce the way of life down to them is the Four Noble Truths that Buddha talked about is to be alive means that you're going to suffer. And so what he saw in this world was that there is suffering. So that's kind of like the first premise or the first truth. And the reason which we suffer by is because we have these desires.
Okay.
And so that's the second truth. So he says, look, the reason we suffer so much is you have these desires. You have a desire to be married so bad and you're single and you suffer. You have a desire to be rich, but you're not, so you suffer. You have a desire to never be sick, but you get sick, so you suffer. So the third noble truth then would be to eliminate suffering. Or to eliminate suffering, you have to eliminate desire.
Okay.
So again, the first noble truth is there, if you to live is to suffer. The reason we suffer, number two, is because of desire. Well, if you want to get rid of suffering, get rid of desire. So you're trying then to live without desire, so to speak, to eliminate your desires. Mm. And so, you know, Jesus, you know, you contrast that with Christianity. Yeah. Like, there's no problem with desire.
Right.
It's just sanctified desire.
Yeah.
The fourth noble truth then would be that you get well through following the Eightfold Path.
Okay.
And the Eightfold Path is going to be things like you have to have the right speech or the right conduct. And it kind of lays out these different truths, like the right behavior or the right occupation or the right effort. And so you follow kind of these rules, and these are supposed to help you to eliminate desire.
So what you're describing sounds a little bit like religion, but it also sounds like kind of a life philosophy. Would you distinguish those two things, or would you lump them together as the same?
Well, I do think that every religion is a life philosophy.
Right.
So I would say that it's not an either or. It is a world religion because it's captured the continents, but it is a life philosophy. That is heavily nuanced with tons of different, you know, call it denominations.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Sometimes people don't realize. We realize in the West as Christians, oh man, there's all these different denominations. But there are all kinds of different streams of Hinduism and Buddhism, as well as Islam, with like Sufism and Shiites and the Sunnis and the different viewpoints that people have.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. As I was, you know, kind of preparing for this episode, I realized that there's a lot of influence in our Western culture from Buddhism. Maybe you could mention some of those that people might not even be aware of, that they have, you know, either their origins or are completely found within Buddhism. So what might some of those be?
Well, I think that the influences of Buddhism, maybe on our culture, would be, you see, like with yoga, for example, that people are really influenced by yoga, and some of the stretching, even in neuroscience, there's a lot of extraction out of Buddhism on things like mindfulness, okay, and meditation and being present. And so all truth is God's truth. And I think that there's some wonderful aspects of trying to be mindful, to be present.
Yeah.
But that's not at odds against Christianity.
Yeah.
Jesus, you know, said, I am with you always. God is, you know, in his divine aseity, he is the self-existent one. He is the present one. God revealed himself as I am. So he's the self-existent one. We can meet God in the moment, in the present. It's just how we go about being present will look different for the person who practices Buddhism versus the Christian. But I do think that we can learn things from one another, but I don't think that we're going to buy into, you know, the fact of the four noble truths. I mean, yeah, the truth is, yes, life is suffering. I buy that. But the reason for all suffering is desire. Well, I don't think that's the reason for all suffering. In fact, I think sometimes it's the reason for a lot of happiness.
Yeah.
Like I desire to get married and I do, and that produces a lot of happiness.
Right.
And I desire to be out of debt. And so I pursue that and I get out of debt and that gives me happiness.
Yeah.
So and the other problem with it too, is when I had the Catholic philosopher, scholar, on the One Minute Apologist years ago to talk about Buddhism. He said one of the problems with the Four Noble Truths is their statement, you know, in order to get rid of suffering, you got to get rid of desire. But the problem with getting rid of desire is you have to have a desire to get rid of the desire.
Right, yeah, it's so a little bit self-defeating.
It kind of becomes self-refuting, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So before we get to maybe some extremely practical tips on how Christians can engage with Buddhists, how we can continue to evangelize and share our faith with them, maybe you could talk a little bit about, and again, I realize this is hard because there's lots of variations of Buddhism. In general, as best you can, what do they believe about Jesus? That's one of the common things that we've been talking about with each one of these conversations. How do they view who Christ is and what role he plays in reality?
Yeah, the respect level for Christ is not huge. You know, and keep in mind, the idea of Christianity to them is hard to swallow.
Yeah.
And the person of Jesus, I mean, look, they say the problem with this world is suffering. And what we believe in, when they see us carrying a cross, they're trying to eliminate suffering, and we believe in a Savior who represents suffering.
Yeah.
And so it makes it very difficult for them to digest. I can say that there are some differences. I put together a chart years ago to help understand some of the differences between Buddha and Jesus.
Yeah.
And, you know, let me read some of these statements. Buddha showed the way. Jesus was the way.
Okay.
Buddha's life is surrounded by myths. Jesus' life is surrounded by facts.
Mm.
Buddha said, reject desire. Jesus wanted us to channel our desires. Buddha never forgave sin. Jesus forgave sin. Buddha was a sinner. Jesus was sinless. Buddha never claimed to be God. Jesus claimed to be God. Buddha performed no miracles. Jesus performed many miracles. Buddha taught nirvana by works. Jesus taught salvation by grace.
Yeah.
Buddha died and is still dead. Jesus died and rose from the grave. Mm. Those are some pretty distinct differences.
Yeah.
Why I think anybody should consider the person of Christ over Siddhartha Gautama Buddha.
that's a great point. So as we're thinking about how to kind of share our faith or how to walk with someone that is Buddhist, how would we go about doing that? What are some things we need to kind of keep in mind in our few remaining minutes here?
Well, I think one of the things that we have to keep in mind is what I said. They see Christianity and they see, you know, the cross around our head, and that's a symbol of torture.
Mm.
And we need to let them know the power of what that represents is that Jesus actually came to end our suffering once and for all at death. Like, what's so beautiful about Christianity is Jesus provides a way for us to not have to go through reincarnation, to not have to believe that lie. I mean, can you even imagine what that does to a person's, call it self-esteem or identity? Anytime something bad is happening to somebody, you watch a person, like, for example, Tim, you know, my family had a lot of sickness. We've had a lot of trials. If we were Buddhists, you might look and think, well, Bobby's just getting the karma for his past life. Well, what would that do for making you an empathetic person? It would cause a lot of callousness, right? It's like, how are you going to become empathetic when your worldview says, no, the reason the person's suffering is because of just desserts. He's getting the karma he deserves. Well, what's so beautiful about Christianity and through the cross is we can tell people that you're not saved by works. You're not saved through trying. It's not about karma. It's about faith and trust in Jesus. And what was happening on the cross, they're suffering, but Jesus came to pay for all of our sin and all of our shame and all of our guilt. And when we place our faith and trust in him, our sins can be forgiven.
Yeah, no, that's good. I think a few other things that I may suggest to keep in mind would be that you can find some, you know, some common grounds. There's some, as you're talking, there are some things like suffering. Suffering exists. The Christian worldview has an explanation for suffering, and it's different than the Buddhist explanation. Even things like meditation, like you already mentioned meditation, we believe that you should be mindful. You mentioned some of these in the beginning. We believe that prayer is a really important piece of our life.
Common ground aspects.
There's some common ground that we can really, really kind of carry into a conversation. I don't know if this would be a good idea, but I think if I was, just as you were talking, kind of thinking about some of this, having a conversation with a Buddhist, someone that describes themselves as that, I would say suggest maybe reading through Romans with them. That seems like they have a lot of commonalities. We have Romans 3 where it talks about we're all sinful. It talks about Romans 5 where suffering gives a way to character building. We have Romans 12 where there's a mindfulness, be renewing our mind. There's, you know, the end of Romans 12 where it talks about finishing well and running the good race. I don't, maybe you wouldn't suggest going through the book of Romans.
I think that's great. I mean, one thing I think that's important is I put together another chart. I just kind of distinguished between Jesus and Buddha.
Right.
I think just being aware of those points of difference. So like here's Jesus, here's Buddha. But then here's Buddhism versus Christianity, another chart I put together. Buddhism says rely on self. Christianity says deny yourself. Buddhism, death is not final. Christianity, death is final. Mm. Buddhism rejects all form of desire. Christianity encourages godly desire.
Yeah.
Buddhism, suffering's bad. In Christianity, suffering can actually be good. In Buddhism, it's based on much speculation. Christianity, it's based on facts. In Buddhism, nirvana through extinction. In Christianity, it's heaven through grace. In Buddhism, it's reincarnation. Christianity, it's resurrection. In Buddhism, none of sin, right? The world's just an illusion.
Yeah.
Christianity, all of sin. In Buddhism, karma determines destiny. In Christianity, grace determines destiny. Buddhism denies meaning in life, but Christianity gives meaning to life. In Buddhism, there's no assurance beyond the grave. In Christianity, there is assurance beyond the grave. Buddhism, God is an impersonal force. Christianity, God is a personal being. In Buddhism, as I mentioned, the world is an evil illusion. Christianity, the world is a good reality. It just needs to be redeemed.
Yeah.
In Buddhism, God cannot be known. In Christianity, God can. In Buddhism, there's no clear view of God. In Christianity, there is. And finally, in Buddhism, believes in pantheism, but Christianity believes in monotheism.
Yeah.
See how that can help just to see the differences?
Yeah, I think those distinctions are fantastic. So I really appreciate that chart. That's awesome.
Yeah, you bet, bud.
Well, thank you so much for checking out this episode of Unapologetic. If you have a suggestion for a worldview that you would like us to tackle, you can go ahead and leave that in the comments under this video. And with that, we will meet you again next time on The Unapologetic Show. You've been listening to Unapologetic with Dr. Bobby Conway, the 1 Minute Apologist. I am your host, Tim Hall. Be sure to listen to Bobby on Pastor's Perspective Monday through Thursday, as well as like, share, and subscribe to the 1 Minute Apologist YouTube channel, where we have over 1,000 videos. We would also like to remind you that this is a listener-supported program. We would greatly appreciate your support in any amount so we could continue to provide this ministry. If you would like to be a part of our team in any capacity, please visit our website at 1MinuteApologist.com. And while you're there, check out all of Bobby's books, courses, and even invite him to speak at your church or event. Thank you for listening to Unapologetic, where we defend truth without compromise.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.